are the sons of God, the mature ones? On last week, Pastor Jamal spoke about the mature ones reignite their faith, reignite their faith. I want to tell you that we are in a season where you need to reignite your faith. We need to reignite our faith. I want to share a few of the foundational scriptures real quick that I started with, and then I want to share a few thoughts for about the next 30 minutes. It's in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. It says, "But as many as received him," meaning received the Lord, "to them he gave the power, gave the right to become the children or the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." It's in Romans chapter 8. You can read 14 through 19. It says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be also glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing or the manifestation of the sons of God." It's in Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. It says this, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are of Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." Would you say with me, "I'm an heir of God, and I am joint heirs with Christ." That's what the Word of God says about you and I. The Word of God also says that those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. It says, "For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." I submit to you that the challenge that we face right now for the church to be effective is that while many are believers, they've not come into sonship or maturity that causes them to walk in a way that causes others to look at you and I and see us as one who has the answers. I've shared over the weeks out of Galatians chapter 4 where it says this, "Now I say, as long as the heir is a child," and you can take that word child, meaning as long as the heir is young, as long as the heir is immature, as long as the heir is inexperienced, as long as the heir is ignorant. That word ignorant just means lacking knowledge. That's one of the definitions. As long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from the slave, though he is owner of everything, but is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. Now, what I endeavored to do in our recent teaching was to tie in that those governors and managers for you and I are the five gifts we have in Ephesians, of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor, and the teachers. Those gifts in operation, as it reads there, it says, "For the perfecting," or the equipping, or the maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry or for the work of service. It goes on and says, "To the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result," As a result of our maturing, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. It is through those guardians, those managers, those functioning, those gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher functioning that help you and I to mature, that helps us to grow up and begin to walk as sons of God, walk as mature ones. And so one of the things that the year 2020 did is it caused us to recognize where we really live. It caused us to see some things about ourselves, about our nation, about the church, about the body of Christ. And we would do well to not look away from it as if you're looking at something that's so terrible that you just don't want to see it. But sometimes you need to look a little closer. And I believe that we are the church, are in this place where Holy Spirit is saying, it's time to look a little closer now. For that which you thought really may not be reality. And so one of the things that I've been talking about over the last couple of weeks are the characteristics of the sons of God. I talked about they are able to rightly divide the word of truth. They're able to rightly divide the word. It's in 2 Timothy 2 again. It says this, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust these to faithful men who are able to teach others." See, that's the way this is supposed to be working. Once it's established in you, you become teacher and begin to share it with others as well. That's how we grow as a body. Later on, it says this, "Be diligent to study, to present yourself approved of God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately or rightly handling, dividing the word of truth." It goes on and says, "But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread gangrene." I read from Ephesians 4, 29 through 32, "Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth." You see, one of the things I believe that is a part of characteristic of a mature believer is that we learn to weigh our words. We learn to know certain conversations we don't get caught up in. So one of the things that I've watched is when we see Christian leaders who are being interviewed by secular television and reporters, and they're asking them questions. Now, you have to know, and you have to be willing to acknowledge the craftiness of the times in which we live. You need to be able to recognize that there is, going back to Ephesians 4, where it says this, "As a result of maturing, we're no longer children tossed here and there by the waves and carried about," hear me now, "by the wind of doctrine, the trickery of men, the craftiness, by craftiness in deceitful scheming." Meaning that, listen, there is scheming that's taking place, okay? There is demonic activity that's going on all around us. We are in the world, but not of the world. And sometimes you're asked a specific question or pulled into a certain setting, and you have to be discerning of why you are there. You have to be discerning as to what you say, if you say anything at all. So in Ephesians, it talks about you don't gossip. You don't enter into the conversations that everyone else is having over what they think about this, what they think about that. Because opinions can get any of us in trouble. Now, I'm not saying you don't need to have an opinion. I'm saying sometimes you don't need to verbalize that opinion. And many of you have heard me say, just because you have the right to say it doesn't make it right to say it. And you've got to get okay with that, because that's part of the wisdom that we're going to need to walk in. I'm talking about characteristics of the sons of God, the mature ones. They're able to rightly divide the word, meaning that you can hear the word and know that it truly is a word of God or it's not. And I want to say to you that you have to be courageous enough to be able to say, I don't believe that. That's not God. We need that kind of stance and that kind of truth being spoken in the times in which we live right now. Because of social media and all the various platforms, everybody thinks what they say is important. But just because we have a platform, just because others have a platform, doesn't necessarily give you any real authority. Standing on a platform behind a podium doesn't really give you any authority in the kingdom of God. It just gives you the opportunity to say something. And so it's important for us to be able to recognize and discern that. The other thing concerning the church that I believe is something that the Holy Spirit is causing us to recognize is this. For many, the diet of the word has not been balanced and healthy. That's why, again, the best place that we can be in is a place where we have the gifts operating of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Because any one of those gifts by itself is dangerous. Any one of those gifts by themselves is dangerous. An apostle can run people in the ground. Y'all didn't hear Pastor Nina. She said, what? No amen. None. She said, what? I'm just telling you, an apostle will run people into the ground because they're about getting it done. They need the balance of a pastor, Tim, who can come alongside them and say, Pastor, I think you need to give them a rest. We need a rest. But the thing that you have to recognize about a pastor is a pastor will massage the sheep so much that you never get anything done. So you need the balance. You need to know a prophet solely functioning can cause people to find themselves in places of error or so beat down by the prophetic that they're never able to really rise up and stand up on their own. The evangelist has the ability to stir the saints, to stir the folks. But that stirring without foundation can cause individuals to miss it as well. And they never really get rooted. So when you have a setting where it's just one gift in operation, it impacts the balance of the diet that we're supposed to be having in any given time that we come together. That's why it's important that we have in this house those giftings and that those gifts have the opportunity to exercise themselves publicly for the sake of the body. But then there is your responsibility, my responsibility, to feed ourselves. Characteristic of the sons of God, mature ones, is that they come to a place where they can feed themselves. Where they can feed themselves. Now, one of the things that can happen as a young believer growing is like a young child. You know, you got that small child that comes to a certain age. For a while, they let you feed them. Then they want to feed themselves. Now, the challenge is when they want to feed themselves, they're really probably not quite ready to feed themselves. So you ever see a child where, you know, you put the food in front of them, you try to feed them, and they start pushing the hand away? They want you to give them the spoon. Then you give them the spoon, and stuff is flying all over the place. See, that's when you need a pastor. Yeah, that's when the pastor needs to kick in, because the apostle would say, give me that spoon, I'm going to feed you, and we done. But the pastor recognizes we need to help you along. And so there's that season, and this is the same growth process for us as believers. So that child will try to feed themselves. But it's messy for a while. The other thing is the smaller the child, and this is something that you got to work through quickly as new believers. Now I'm talking to not only us here, but those who may be listening to this. Because as a child, as an infant, when you have a small child who's not quite walking or barely walking, one of the things you know you have to do is keep the floor clean. I'm getting visions, y'all, right about now with grandkids. So I'm down with my family, and I'm watching my little grandson, who's just as busy as he can be. I watch him walking around. Now, at that level, at that age, at that height, you're going to see things that a 6'1" person ain't going to see looking down, really. So I watched my grandson, who was maybe, I don't know, 1.5, close to 2. He was walking by then. I watched him walking around, just minding his business. And I watched him walk over, pick up something off the floor. Now, my first thought was, Jesus, wherever that was, let him be okay. I don't know if it was a piece of food. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a bug. I don't know what it was. All I know is he picked it up and he ate it. Well, that's what children do. That's what infants do. The challenge for us is, and the challenge for many in the body of Christ, is coming to a place where you grow, mature. Now you're able to recognize what is healthy spiritual food. I'm talking about characteristics of the sons of God. They can spiritually feed themselves. They can recognize something that they should eat, something they shouldn't eat. Mature ones recognize the need for balanced diet, balanced word. See, I would like to believe that the word that you're hearing is not just on Sunday mornings, because if it is, you're not getting all that's available to you. I would say you're probably not getting all that you need, because there should be a personal discipline in the word, as well as other words that God will bring through you through other notable, well-founded teachers, be it apostles or prophets or evangelists or pastors or teachers, that help you to stay healthy. So in the book of Hebrews, it's being addressed. In Hebrews chapter 5, and I'm going to read a couple of passages here and then wrap up our time for right now. In Hebrews 5, verse 7, it says, in the days of the flesh, it says, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, capital S, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Now I'm going to come back to that in just a minute, because you need to recognize that there is a process of suffering that brings us to places of maturity in our lives. It says, and having been made perfect, mature, he became to all those who would obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, but he says, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Now, what the writer is simply saying there, he kind of went from talking about Jesus as high priest and kind of sharing, if you will, this connection with Melchizedek. But what he understands is, based on where you're at, I can't even begin to talk to you about Melchizedek or this high priest place because of your dull of hearing. It says this, going on, for though by this time, say by this time. Now, remember going back to Galatians 4, where it says he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the Father. I want you to recognize that there really are set times in your life and in mine where God has purposed to teach us things, grow us in ways. You graduate, you get that certificate, and then you move on. There are set times, just like when you go through school. How many educators do I have, teachers and principals? And yeah, so you operate out of a place where there are schedules, there are set times. You want to be able to get what you're supposed to get within the time frame so you don't have to go to summer school. Were any of you frequent summer school people? Okay, I guess I was the only one. Oh, you got your hand? I knew you did. Okay. Tawanda, you know I love you. I was one of those who had to go to summer school a few times. Because you know why? Because I didn't get it done in the set time. And the thing about summer school, that's the crash course. And you missed out on summer activities because you had to go to summer school if you're going to graduate on time. It says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, it says you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. He's saying, man, you're still at the ABCs. You can't be in the seventh, eighth grade and you don't know your ABCs. Wait a minute. You learn your ABCs in kindergarten, right? Pre-K. You don't need to be in the second grade and not know your ABCs. That means you can't read. And yet what the writer is saying here, he's saying by now, by this time, you ought to be teachers, meaning you should have experienced enough, received enough, grown enough, that now you're mature enough to now begin to teach others. I want you to recognize that everything you go through becomes an opportunity for you to teach someone else who may be going through it or may about to go through it. That's why, hear me, that's why when I asked Brother Charles, let us pray for you and encourage you, I brought up individuals who've been through some things in that regard. Now, I've already had my opportunity to minister to Charles and talk with him and pray with him, but it takes more. It takes more. It says you ought to be teachers. There should be enough in you that now you can teach others the elementary principles justification, sanctification, those kinds of things. It goes on and says, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Now you have to understand, milk can sustain you, but it doesn't add strength to you. Even if you find yourself on a liquid diet, it's good to have some protein in that liquid diet. There are people who are unfortunately needing to be fed fluids to keep them going. But what happens is it doesn't build strength. It doesn't build muscle. It doesn't build mass. It doesn't build strength. It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, the perfection of Christ in the believer. For he is an infant. And I'm telling you, we will have to give an account for the teachings that we have done where it has not given opportunity for believers to grow. When you are in a fellowship that just camps around those types of things that just keep you saved, you're not going to add a whole lot to the world that's in need. It will only come out of that perfecting word that matures you, that helps you to recognize that once you are saved and you understand sanctification, you understand justification, you understand forgiveness, that now you've got to step into that place of growing up so that you can begin to go out and be the salt, be the light. These are characteristics of the sons of God. You don't need to be reminded over and over that you're saved. You don't need to be reminded over and over that you're forgiven. You don't need to be reminded over and over. You got that, know that, live in that place, walk in that place, and then begin to draw on the grace of God. So one of the challenges that has impacted the church, the body of Christ, is we have not had this balanced diet, this steady diet. The writer goes on and says, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Because of exercising, they're now able. Their senses have been trained to discern good and evil. They're no longer like children just putting anything in their mouths because it looks good, it looks tasty. You ever order something based on the picture? Jesus. And then you get it, maybe sometimes it don't even look like the picture. But how many of you have ordered something based on the picture, and when you ate it, you realize this don't taste nothing like what was in my head relative to this picture? So you learn that lesson. I'm talking about now the discerning between good and evil. Because you see, as a result of maturing, you're now able to discern for yourself. Say for yourself. Come on, say for me. See, I would highly recommend to you that what I'm saying to you, you study it out yourself, so that you get it for yourself and come to recognize, going back to something I said earlier, everybody who stands on a platform behind a podium or whatever with jeans and a sports coat on or however they want to dress doesn't necessarily mean what they're saying is all the truth and all valid. You see, a mature believer will study it out for themselves. Because you see, it's not what you get here, it's what you keep here that's going to make the difference. Because sometimes things can happen and your head checks out. Your mind checks out. But if it's in your heart, you can make it. So the writer goes on and says, and I'm wrapping this up here. In Hebrews 6, he continues on with his thought. Says this, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, he says, let us press on to maturity. You see, pressing is a part of the process. Pressing is a part of the process. And how many of you have ever been in that place where you're receiving teaching, but there's a prodding, there's a nudging. And it's not that what you're receiving is bad, it's just that you hear a very small voice say, there's more. Any of you ever been in that space? There's more. I remember over and over and over hearing that. I still hear that voice now. There's more. Now, know this. All he's doing is stirring your appetite. All he's doing is presenting to you a broader look into his kingdom. There's more. We're here today because in South Africa, I'm there ministering to the brothers and sisters there, and I'm telling them there's more. Only to hear God say to me, there's more. On Crescentville in 747, I heard him say, there's more. See, circumstances and situations can cloud so you can't hear it here. You can't think it here. It emanates here. It emanates out of your spirit, man. There's more. It's a gentle prodding, a nudging. But when you hear it, then you've got to press. Because everything around you can be nice. Everything around you can be comfortable. And there is nothing sinful about you staying right where you're at. You're just going to miss that. There's more. And you have to recognize that often he's not saying, there's more. For you, for me, he's saying, there's more. For those who need you to walk in the more so that you can help them walk in the more. I'm gonna just clap right there for myself. It blesses me. Very recently, I was up in the kitchen and I'm smelling some good cooking. And Wilma's cooking and I said, you got a catering job going on. She says, yeah, we're doing so and so and so and so. And I walked out of there, rejoicing, because I'm saying this is the way it's supposed to be. This is the way it's supposed to be. I fulfill my destiny and I help facilitate your destiny. The writer says, therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, press towards the mark. That's what it talks about in Philippians 3. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul makes it clear in Philippians chapter 3 when he says, all of my accomplishments mean nothing. There comes a time when it doesn't matter what you've achieved, it doesn't matter how many degrees you have, how many letters you have behind your name, it doesn't matter what the accomplishments are, when you hear that voice say, there's more, that's when you've got a decision to make. And it was Paul who recognized, with all that's available to me, I can't accept this. I can't stay here. I've got to be willing to offer it all up. Now, the scripture says he counted it as waste, meaning any importance it once had, it has it no longer, because now there's someone on the inside of me. There's someone that's wooing me. There's someone that's nudging me. There's someone that's calling me and saying, there's more. And the more that he's talking about doesn't have to do with me now. It has to do with the generations. It has to do with the souls that weigh in the balance. And as wonderful as your life may be right now, when you hear that voice say, there's more, that's your time. That's my time. To accept, appreciate, acknowledge, glorify God for what he's done, but be willing to lay it all down for the next thing that he has, the more that he has. It says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of instruction about washing and laying out of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And if this we will do, if God permits. I'm encouraging us. I'm encouraging you. Because creation is in earnest expectation for the manifestation of the true sons of God. It's time. It's time. That appointed time is now. And if you're one and you have been hearing that voice saying, there's more, you don't have to figure it out. You just simply need to say, I want the more. I'm ready for the more. I submit to it. Going back to something Pastor Nina said, it literally saved her life. Swift obedience. Swift obedience. Swift obedience.